Let's freaking go. I'm looking at you. Five-star receiver. Man, I don't even know where to start because I know that there's so many of you that are ready to say, hey, did you know we landed not one, not two, but three five-star recruits last cycle only for one of them to sign in DJ Pickett. But I am not of the belief to focus in just on the negative because I'm like many of you. I don't know how much I still care about high school recruiting, knowing how it all works now. But the bottom line is Tristan Keys committed to LSU today. And the guy looks and plays like T. freaking Higgins. Are you kidding me? We're going to show you some of his highlights in just a second. But the truth is, this is not the only move LSU is going to make for an elite, elite, elite recruit. So it is very important to keep in mind that while this is a good day for LSU football, it could get even better. Now, is Tristan Keys generational? Is he someone that makes me go, holy moly, this guy is the next Jeremiah Smith, Jamar Chase? I watched a good bit of him. I've actually spent the last 30 or so minutes not only watching from my seat, but I decided to get up on the treadmill trying to shed a few more of these pounds to watch some of his highlights, some of the camp reports, and he is indeed very, very, very good. But the truth is, the elite, elite, elite speed is not his game. But goodness gracious, watch him move. It feels like you're watching a living personification of knife cutting through butter, baby. So this is a really, really, really good day to be an LSU Tiger fan. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the 2026 recruiting class. I also think the timing of this is very interesting because obviously, if you're a five-star recruit, you can get pretty much any bag you could think of. And I do want to point out that the NIL calendar has changed. This is very, very important. Because revenue sharing is coming in the near future, there are many that believe collectives are just all going to vanish. Some collectives have just kind of morphed into the athletic program. Some collectives have just been folded altogether, like Colorado's. That doesn't mean that they lost all their funding, but it's just a shift. So the way it was explained to me is that more so for this last transfer portal class, you have a certain time period to give some players a little extra, if you will. This is a very simplified way of explaining this, but it is something of note. All right. So I am excited, and you should be excited, but you shouldn't get too excited. So obviously last year, same position, DeCorian Moore, the clear-cut five-star number one ranked wide receiver. My good buddy Blake Ruffino went down, did his commitment, and he obviously ended up going to Oregon. That doesn't mean it was all a waste, because what that would tell someone like Tristan Keys is that, hey, LSU is for real about recruiting the tip top of the iceberg recruits. And also Bryce Underwood leaving us at the altar was also a rare circumstance of a bag that we were never going to match. But even though you went 33% when it comes to holding on to the commitment of a top 10 national recruit, you still went 33%. You still got that number one corner that you had been desperately missing for years. That counts for something. I felt, and I said it the day DJ Pickett surprisingly committed to LSU. The night before, there weren't many people that thought DJ Pickett was going to go to LSU. Many felt he was going to go to Oregon. He ends up picking LSU, and there was a lot of positive steam towards LSU towards the end. There wasn't a whole lot of us that thought DJ Pickett was going to end up signing the dotted line. So far in camp, he has been fantastic. I believe he will be a good true freshman corner, and that was worth it. All the hoops that you have to jump through, all the extras that you have to provide an out-of-state player to come to LSU, because they could go anywhere, is one thing that you have to do to get the can't-miss five-star recruits. And those guys out of high school are the needle movers. They just are. All right? The team that won the national championship last year had six top 10 national recruits on their team. Anywhere from six to eight, it just depends on what service you're looking at. And DJ Pickett, for the record, ended up being recruit number 11 on the 247 composite, but basically top 10. So Ohio State, they had Jack Sawyer. They had JTT. They had Caleb Downs that they won out of the transfer portal. They had Jeremiah Smith. Those guys won them the natty. It was those guys with some help from the transfer portal and some guys buying in and staying an extra year. So, look, I understand. There is a world where a lot of you might not care about this one individual recruit until he actually signs. And there is a big piece of me that feels that way as well. But I will say, Tristan Keyes did tweet this out. And I want to show this before I do share some of his highlights. It was fascinating that he could have tweeted out any photo, but he chose to tweet out a photo with Brian Kelly. That, to me, says something. Because there are many that think Brian Kelly doesn't actually do the recruiting. It's his staffers. You could say that about every single team that's out there, that a lot of the recruiting is done by the recruiting staff. But I believe this is Brian Kelly, and I think behind Tristan Keyes is Austin Thomas, who is a guy that actually does all the sign, dotted line, salary cap type of stuff. And to the left of Keyes holding a phone to his ear, I believe that is John Randall Belton, the head of recruiting on the actual player relation recruiting side of things. Big, big, big day if you're an LSU Tiger football fan, all right? Now, what else could this mean for LSU? Well, there's a lot of positive momentum going in the way of Donovan Webb. As you can see, Donovan Webb tweeting from Tiger Stadium. That's obviously a really good thing. And this guy is apparently a really good player. I've not watched him, so I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say he's the second coming. But really, the interesting visit, and this was one that really excited me, all right, because I'm a big fan of genetics. Aiden Pouncey, big-time offensive line recruit. He is the nephew of the Pouncey twins visiting LSU. That's a big boy right there. Obviously, Brian Kelly is big on building in the trenches. So, there you go. It was a very fruitful recruiting weekend. So, let's go to your comments. And Reed says it doesn't mean anything to him. It doesn't mean jack diddly poop emoji. Let's go to Nathan. I mean, it's exciting, but can we hold on him the whole way? For that reason, I voted no to our poll question. And if you're watching this live, please vote in the poll. Do you get excited about this? 58% of you say no. Very interesting. Normally, if this was done a year ago, all of you would be like, man, I couldn't be having a better day right now. Let's go to John Bodenheimer. Kelly literally got 3 5-stars last year. Now, Bodenheimer, you call yourself an introvert. You're being very extrovert here. I like it. But it's pretty evident that he's not happy with the offers on the table, so he's going to commit to create a bidding war. NCAA has to change the way commitments work. So what would you change? Jerry says, who is a 5-star recruit? Yep. And He says Brian Kelly has proven he cannot hold on to five-star recruits. Well, what is DJ Pickett? What's Lance Hurd? What's Harold Perkins? I mean, there's a lot of teams that have five stars decommit. I would argue the more important recruits that actually involve recruiting when it just comes to player-coach relationship are the middle-tier four stars. The five stars, I mean, you just got to be the biggest bidder. But it does also involve some recruiting, okay? But you get the picture. Now, the next thing that I feel is important is that LSU's wide receiver room is a bit of a mystery going into next year. Obviously, after Berrien Brown and Nick Anderson play their season here, Nick has a few years of eligibility left, but Brown has one more year. They will go. Chris Hilton is done after this season. So there legitimately will be a wide open, gaping hole of targets that are left over. We don't really know the history or the future of Destin Hill and his overall eligibility at this point. Xavier Thomas is also very interesting. This will be his final season of eligibility, I believe. So what does the future of the LSU wide receiver room even look like? I think that was a selling point for LSU. Hey, we're going to have a lot of targets opening up next season. So that is a very good thing, especially considering a lot of these incoming wide receivers that they have brought in that are young. They've not really done a whole lot on the field and really at practice. Now, there are still some that have some hope for a guy like Kylan Billiott to take a huge step forward next season. So we'll see what happens. Let's go to Christopher. Drop in a very nice super chat. Thank you so much, Christopher. And what he doesn't know, because we are celebrating a commitment, cautiously celebrating, Christopher, I'm sending you a card in the mail. So make sure you shoot me a message after this video is over. I'm going to send you a card of someone. I don't know who. Every $20 super tonight, I'm sending you a card in the mail. Come on, it's March Madness Eve. Christopher says, do you think Keys will remain a five-star? I think by the end of the cycle, he'll drop. He'll be a top 100 recruit for sure. So let's have a conversation about a recruit dropping in the rankings. Could you see Tristan Keys fall off? The answer is yes, for a few reasons. You know, I know some of the people that put together the rankings, and they do place an emphasis on athletic testing. Keys is not one of these 100-meter dash type of superstars like a DeCorian Moore is. He's also not necessarily like can't miss, holy crap, Jeremiah Smith either. He's very, very, very good. And the hardest position to be the number one in is wide receiver. That is the case from now until the end of eternity. Because every year in the NFL, it's a loaded wide receiver draft class. Now, this year it's a little bit different, but every single recruiting class, you can go back to even Chris Hilton's recruiting season. I think there was like 17 receivers in the top 100 that year. So it's hard to separate, not only in terms of actually being a receiver, but it's hard to separate yourself from the pack with you being the number one wide receiver. So could there be a drop? Yeah, because yes, there is some track and field in Tristan Keys' background, I believe more so hurdling, if you will, but he does have a basketball background as well. Could I see him drop? I could see him drop because of that, also because he is committed. Another reason he could drop is that he's playing in Mississippi, which isn't the same, obviously, as playing in Louisiana or Texas or anything like that. So, Tristan Keys, I also like the fact that he's out of Hattiesburg. It's interesting Mississippi's relationship high school wise with the big two state universities that are in there, obviously Ole Miss and Mississippi State. There are quite a few LSU fans in Mississippi. I would venture off and say the city of, let's say, Natchez, Mississippi, is 40% Mississippi State, 40% Ole Miss, and 20% LSU. And that LSU number could actually be a little bit larger because Natchez is an hour away from Baton Rouge. So the state's relationship with the universities there is not quite as tight as it is with, let's say, LSU with the state of Louisiana. Another thing about the state of Mississippi is that they do produce good wide receivers. A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf were in the same recruiting class. Deion Smith is finally going to get his chance to play again. I think he's going to be pretty good this year for Ole Miss. So this is a state that can produce pass catchers and some just elite prospects pretty much every cycle. But obviously the level of competition just isn't the same as it is in the big five states, which of course is Texas, California, Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida. So hopefully that answers your question, Christopher. And don't forget, shoot me a message after the live stream. Nathan is in Mississippi, so you should be super excited, Nathan. And speaking of the state of Mississippi, shout out to friend of the show, Stephen Ridley. I lived in the same apartment complex as Stephen Ridley. I've not talked to him in a while, and obviously Stephen Ridley himself is from Natchez. Okay? Now, back to some current LSU stuff, but we'll keep it going. Jalen, who I met in Vegas, good to see you. Jalen is I can't believe I'm about to out you here. He's a Kentucky fan when it comes to basketball. I think Kentucky is about to get dominated in this tournament. Mark Pope in over his head. He says, I'm excited because LSU has gotten their NIL together. I feel like a lot of people don't understand how much things have changed on that front. Yes, it is true. They've gotten their SHI shit together. S. Young says, I am more interested in LSU's recruiting plan in 2026 and 2027. Well, I'm not going to talk about that because 26, they've gotten some guys on campus. I think the more interesting year is 2027 because they have themselves a bit of a quandary with Elijah Haven being in that class and then, of course, Garrett Nussmeier's brother being in that class. But apparently Elijah Haven is him. And by the way, in my DJ Pickett video yesterday, I never thought I would, I try not to fake using all the like younger Gen Z terms like him, but I do use them occasionally because I want to relate to older viewers. I want to relate to younger viewers and those in the middle. So I use him for DJ Pickett yesterday, and somebody got so angry in my comment section. And I was like, really? Really? And I was showing them love. They're like, what the hell is that mean? Good for you. You got his pronouns correct. You know, you hear all kinds of criticism. But Pickett has been him in practice. And you guys know, I am the guy that does not try to overhype spring practice guys. I try not to. I'm very cautious, but it has been repeated to me that DJ Pickett is that guy. Which is why the elite five stars are worth it in the grand scheme of things. You got to jump through a lot of hoops, but it's worth it. Now, I want to look at you close. I want you to come in really tight because I tried to upload this to my Patreon account yesterday. every single patron. You sign up, you're in the drawing for the Ja'Marr Chase autographed jersey at the end of April. You also get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. By the way, in the month of March, if you sign up during a live stream, you get your sign up free. I pay you right back. I tomorrow will be releasing a podcast on what I have heard from every single transfer during practice. Transfer portal recruiting, you would like to think, is a more sure thing. You feel like you're getting a more certain player than you would a high school player. But what actually happens is it's still a 50-50 proposition. And one thing you learn from watching guys get drafted into the NFL to watching guys get recruited out of high school to the next level or recruiting other collegiate players from the transfer portal to your school, it is still a 50-50 proposition if that guy is going to work out for you. Now, are there instances where a player is more of an 80-20 proposition? Where you are 80 to even more so 90 to 95% sure that player is going to be good. Yeah, there's Walter Nolans. There's Caleb Downs. There are those types of guys that you feel really, really good about. But the truth is, it's still a 50-50 proposition. When Mansoor Delane decided to pick LSU, he immediately became a number one transfer. That was a guy that I was pretty damn certain is going to work out. And up to this point in camp, it has been the case. And once again, it's just camp. But part of why my confidence went up is that I had legitimate people that cover the NFL and have worked in the NFL, worked in scouting departments, say that Mansoor Delane would have been drafted. So if a guy would have been drafted and he still decided to go to LSU, then that guy is probably a good football player. Probably. He is the only transfer I felt in this crop that would have gotten drafted. I think Berrion Brown, there could have been a team that took a flyer if he decided to come out. But it's one of those things where you have to be still cautious. Now, I do like the portal. I really do. But I do want to share one concern that I have not seen Braylon Moore really work with the ones. He was a coveted center transfer coming in from Virginia Tech, and he has mostly worked with the two. So there's a piece of me that's saying, look, they might run with DJ Chester at center again next season. I am not in that camp. I would not want to do that again. But that's what's been happening at practice. So I'm going to roll with it. I do think eventually, though, Braylon Moore will become the starting center. Okay. Let's go to Christopher to follow up on his super chat. He says that Hattiesburg 5A district is good football. It probably is. You're right. It probably is. But the corners he was cooking were my height in some of those clips. But once again, this was really the first day I watched him. Okay, and I would think 99% of LSU fans would say the same thing. So, Christopher says, Oak Grove would come to Louisiana and give our big schools a run for their money. Cole says, Jack Pyburn's interview has him stoked for next year. Pyburn was my number two defensive player in this cycle. So there you go. Coming up next, we play some highlights from the man of the hour.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging. XY. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go! So you get to see a few highlights here from, man, that one-handed crab is crazy. This is Tristan Keys getting to work. So we'll probably do like an actual pre-recorded film study at some point. I might be going to Austin, Texas this weekend for LSU baseball. I've never been to a road LSU baseball game. So I might actually make that trip. Give me some Terry Black's, man, dude, just powering through that corner like he's nothing. Get the chalk outline out, baby. And I'm sorry for our online audio podcast listeners. Get on over to YouTube, but if you haven't already, hit that 5-star review on Spotify, all that good stuff. But he does have like a T. Higgins feel to his game. You know, one thing that was fascinating, just because he kind of looks like him, I guess I was trying to figure out why players, or I don't, and this is fourth down right here. They're just chunking it up and bang. That's just crazy. There were quite a few people comparing him to Anthony Edwards, the basketball player. I guess they kind of look alike. I don't know. That's him getting pass interfered with. And it's so weird. What's up, John? It's been a while. Tari, it's been a while. Good to see you. Tari used to give us the trivia. Cole, you're going Saturday? Okay. That's right. You did tell Sibley that. What time are you getting in on Saturday? Well, Cole, you got my email. Email me. I'm going to the front. I'm going to try and pull off the craziest double play. I'm going to try and go to the Texas LSU baseball game Friday night and get to the Kim Mulkey extravaganza on Saturday night. It's been since 2007 that I've been to an LSU women's basketball NCAA tournament game. Look at the wiggle. Look at the wiggle. And then one thing I really like is press man doesn't do anything to him. Just get right by that guy. Jump ball. Take it, baby. Love to see it. Devin's going to the Saturday Austin game. Let's go. That sounds dope. Devin, do you live in Austin? I might go to the Friday. I mean, Austin is a trip. Everyone talks about how great Austin is. Dude, you have got to go on a voyage to get to Austin, Texas. We got a little shallow drag action. Hurdling the corner. How did he keep his feet right there? That is insane. There we go. We got. We run a lot of balance formations like this. Good blitz pickup running. All right, it was decent blitz pickup from the running back. There we go. I don't remember this play. Okay, a little comeback route. All right, you better house this. You better house this. Gas it. Gas it. Okay. You have to cut back on him. There you go, Devin, making the drive from Dallas. Okay, soft corner here. Oh, okay, there. That's just giving it away. I just don't understand how any high school defense coordinator would go into a game where the other team has like one bona fide five-star, and you leave your corner who's going to be selling insurance in 10 years in one-on-one coverage. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I would be making anybody else. You see right there. I would be making anybody else beat me. See, no safety help. Okay, they had an overhang come out and help. I just love that. This is how I would play quarterback with this receiver. Just look his way and just chunk that bitch up, boy. That's all you got to do, man. Don't overcomplicate this. That was an underrated grab. It was behind him. It's a good question from Sam. Who's the best non-Louisiana wide receiver we've ever had? Dwayne Bowe's not a bad guess. So, you know, a few that come to mind. Terrence Tolliver is definitely in that mix. Non-Louisiana. I guess it would be Dwayne Bowe. So there you go. Got to watch his highlights. Now, to shift subjects. I heard Bill Francis said this in a clip. Now, I've not listened to the full clip. I've not listened to the clip at all. In fact, I just saw someone tweet this out. But they said, or he said, apparently in this clip, that Daniel Dickinson and Monster Milam is the best double play combination in the history of LSU baseball. That is way beyond my scope. Now, some of you are stitch heads. You watch every pitch of every single game. And you guys tell me. I guess I would need to go look at the clip. But that's pretty bold. You know, and that's not just some guy hot taking. Mean, that's Bill Francis. Nobody on the planet Earth knows more about LSU baseball than Bill Francis. Nobody. I'll play the clip.
And again, you mentioned double play. I mean, I told Jay this earlier at some point over the weekend. Milam and Dickinson are the best middle infield double play combination that I've ever seen at LSU. I mean, Milam is just, as we've seen, is superb at shortstop.
And I only, I
mean, there's not a play he can't make. And right. Dickinson was known more for his offense at Utah Valley.
Right. But he's been excellent.
You can tell he's worked extremely hard at defense. He's an athletic guy anyway. He gets to a lot of balls that maybe some second baseman wouldn't get to. And he's been incredible as well. So I love the fact that we have that, if you can call it a weapon, a defensive weapon, where we can turn double.
Sure.
Because there have been many LSU teams, even the 2023 team was not a great double play team.
Right.
We've seen, you know.
Yeah, that's beyond my scope. That's beyond my scope. But wouldn't, I guess if you're talking specifically double plays, that's probably true. I mean, I don't think he would say that. Like, there's no benefit of him doing a hot take. There's none. He works for the university. But what about Nola LeMahieu? Wouldn't Austin Nola and DJ LeMahieu, they were a shortstop and second base, right? But I think he is just speaking specifically defensively. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. They're damn good. And look, Monster Milan, freaking love them. So big weekend series versus Texas. I think a lot of you are saying, well, we don't really know anything about this team until they play a better SEC team. But you're 21-1. Hell. It's hard to sweep any SEC team. You know, to go back to that example of Nola LeMahieu, that team that won the Natty in 09, I think they swept one team and then they got swept in another series, but they won 2 of 3 in every other series. So sweeps are rare. They are so rare. So now you go into Texas. Schlossnagel is a coach. And boy, that to me, and I'm not saying it's the best college baseball story ever, but that was definitely my most explosive college baseball memory, is Schlossnagel going from Texas A&M the day after they lost to Natty to Texas. There's just so many what ifs. Does he still do this if A&M would have won that game 3 over Tennessee? But of course, Texas is always going to be good in baseball. You have to be just crazy to not win there. Roger Clemens and, man, so many great players. Excited about that. Only thing that does not excite me about going to Texas is the, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might be going to the game on Friday, but they play on a turf field. Come on. Come on. I understand. Grassy knolls have been in the news lately, especially from the state of Texas. But give me a damn grass field. God bless. I don't know. I always feel weird about playing sports that are meant to be played on grass, but you play on turf. There was a story regarding this. The biggest athlete on the planet, maybe the biggest athlete of all time, is Lionel Messi. He refuses to play on turf fields. Refuses. And he could do that. There's a lot of soccer players that rightfully bitch and moan about it. But he decided to play on a turf field in Atlanta because I don't know why he decided to do it. But I don't know. I guess I don't know. But I think a lot of you are saying, hey, you agree with Bill Francis. I agree with Bill Francis. Like I said, there is not a single human being on the planet Earth that knows more about LSU baseball than him. Okay? Or Skip Bertman, if you will. But, I mean, Bill Francis's job is to know every last bit of history when it comes to LSU baseball. So I trust him on that. Once again, he has no benefit to dish out a hot take like that. I feel it's me saying that. It'd be a little bit different. Okay? Next thing. We do move into a strange period with the NCAA tournament when it comes to LSU women's basketball. I think a lot of you will be fine if we play in the Elite Eight versus UCLA, but we lose. I think that's what a lot of you are predicting this year. This team obviously has holes. But it's so weird when you win a national championship and you still field really, really, really good teams, but you don't field an elite, 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 elite team since you won that natty. Every season, we have been three seeds. You know what? I'm actually fine with that. I am. Of course, I would prefer us to be South Carolina, where we are, you know, the betting favorite in every single tournament that we play, or at least a two seed or a one. But you took a look at women's basketball this year. There were some really strong three seeds. Notre Dame is a three seed, and they were the number one team in the country. You take a look at TCU. They're a two seed. But I understand the TCU storyline is interesting with Haley Van Lith. This would be my question, though, because I've had a few of you say, well, you know, they're a higher seed than us, so we are underperforming. Yeah, we would love to be a one or a two seed. But let's take Texas, the one seed, one of the one seeds in this tournament. If they were still in the Big 12, we would have two fewer losses, and TCU would also probably have two fewer losses. So, you know, I don't think TCU just had like this way better season than us just because they were a higher seed. But like I've said repeatedly, this team is still in a good spot. They really are. All right. And then I've been fielding emails, texts regarding what I've said about LSU men's basketball recently. And I wanted to get to softball real quick. Beth Tarina is still her. But back to basketball. It's just tough for me to back off that I understand we had Jerry Tipton, a national recruiting analyst, say, hey, he has heard from legitimate sources that we are in a spot where we're going to do more NIL, okay? And that's a good thing. I think it's awesome. We definitely need better players. I just don't know if it's going to change anything. I really, really, really don't. I think college basketball, even more than college football, the head coach is so damn important. I think more than any of the big sports that we truly care about, the head coach matters so damn much in college basketball. It really, really, really does. All right. And that's a hard thing to reconcile. It really is, because, you know, in football, I think the head coach is almost as important as the college basketball head coach, but with how complex schematics are, whoever you hire as your offensive and defensive play callers, they're almost as important as a head coach, where in college basketball, the head coach is everything, and then, you know, no assistant really matters as much as a head coach in college basketball. And then it goes head coach, then NIL. So, and I will still be on the Wade Brigade. I have tried to, you know, stay on this Matt McMahon wagon. It's just hard for me to do it. It really is. Now, Will Wade goes to NC State. It's just a nothing burger for me. I mean, that was rumored heavily right when the job opened up. And Kevin Keats was forced to step down. He went to a Final Four last year. And when a head coach's name is so immediately tied to a job opening, that means he's probably going to go take that job. This has been, you know, an ugly story with Indiana. West Virginia, their head coach, it was kind of a dirty secret that he was going to go to Indiana. And his son, Tucker DeVries, was mysteriously hurt 3 weeks ago. Mysteriously. It is what it is. Okay. Now, don't forget, we're doing a bracket challenge. You could sign up down below. You can also go to our Discord. Password is NussJaden. And see if you can win our bracket. It's just for fun. But we are still doing that big Ja'Marr Chase giveaway at the end of next month. All right? Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep this party going. Christopher, congrats to you. You won yourself a card. I'm in a giving mood today. Gino Bling says, D. Anderson, out-of-state wide receiver. Eh. I think his best season, he caught 20 balls. I think that was in 2018. Had that big, big, big catch. It was a cross-field throw Joe Burrow threw to D. Anderson in 2018 versus Auburn. It was a thing of beauty. But D. Anderson was a good player. He quit on the 2019 LSU team before the season began. And I think he regrets that now because he would have played. But he wouldn't have played a lot, but he would have played. And he went to Oklahoma State, had a decent year. And I don't know what he's doing now. I really don't. But he's got an open invite to come on the show. I would love to know why he decided to leave. Or if he wanted to leave. I don't know. I still don't know what happened. But D. Anderson wasn't as good as Terrence Tolliver. He just wasn't. Let's go to Creek Dweller. It's been a while, man. Holding it down in North Louisiana. Still the most epic PHL profile pick, Creek Dweller. John, I hope you're good, man. So there you go. Let's see. I do want to share this. What a freaking story this would be if he turns out to be a freaking stud. Javian Toviano. Look at him turn his head, hand on the ball, thing of beauty. Look at that. And he pops right back up. Bang. Love to see that. Look at that. Top 100 recruit. So you had the crazy story that got dealt with. And, you know, I still think about the video that he took from the end of the LSU-Alabama game, the Mason Taylor catch. And that was like one of my favorite moments, a recruit living through the moment of Mason Taylor catching that pass and then rushing the field after. Wow. Dude, I'll never forget it. Never, ever, ever forget that. And that video is one that I think about a lot. I think about it like, what would I do if I was a recruit and I saw that unfold and that be one of my first instances of watching LSU football, I would go absolutely berserk. Huh? I freaking love it. Now, thanks to each and every one of you. I hope you guys have an awesome March Madness tomorrow. We will go live at some point tomorrow. I think it'll be our normal time on Thursdays, which is 6, might go a little bit earlier. Just be on the lookout for that. But the big story, Brian Kelly has done it again. Just got to hold on to it. It is Power Hour LA. LSU. Boom. And tonight, we are doing Lemon Pepper. Actually, no, we're not doing Lemon Pepper Chicken Wings. We're doing Chicken Tikka Masala. Getting down with some Indian food. Let's go.